Cloudcast Media.
Welcome to your next mission podcast with the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley, proudly presented by Cavalry Agency, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans.
Hello out there. Welcome to your next mission podcast. I'm Jack L. Tilley, your host, and wow, this is really exciting. Your next mission is a new program initiative of the American Freedom Foundation. Go easy on me as I navigate around this new and exciting journey. We'll be taking some outstanding, providing some interesting guests with some insights and real takeaways for our veterans and military service members, military spouses, and families as it relates to your transition from military to civilian life. We want to address topics and issues you're already dealing with. It's my hope that Your Next Mission podcast can be a place where we can all laugh and cry together and have frank, honest conversations about questions we're all trying to answer and have some fun along the way. To get us started, I want to tell you a little story about myself. Now, I usually don't tell these stories, but I'm going to do it today because we don't have nobody else to talk to tell a story. So I grew up in Vancouver, Washington. I was really a troubled youth. I spent about 9 months in reform school and really, I didn't think I was going too far in life anyway. And so when I came back, my mother and father got a divorce, and I lived in a duplex. And then the duplex was a one-bedroom, one-bath, just a small place. And there was nowhere for me really to live. So we didn't have a washing machine and dryer. Didn't have enough money to buy one. So I lived in that laundry room. And I lived in that laundry room for about 2.5 years. In that 2.5 years... I had a small bed, I had three shelves I put my clothes on, and I'd pick my feet up and close my door every night. And I'd look through the little vent, and if you've ever been to laundry, we got a little vent there, and I'd look through that vent, and I went to school, and I did the best I could. And I remember when I graduated, I was, if you've been up to Washington State, I was sitting on the Columbia River, probably breaking a law, drinking a beer, and somebody asked me what I was going to do in life. And I said, I don't know. And he said, you want to go to college? And I said, now listen to this. And I think it's important to listen. Guys like me don't go to college. Low self-esteem, nothing's going right. Really thought I'd be dead by the time I was 25. The next guy said, hey, look, let's join the military. Let's join the Army. I said, oh, okay. That was my entire thought process. And I went through basic AIT, jump school, and then straight to war. And the war changed my life, and the Army changed my life. So I've always been grateful for that time and how it changed. And I think I changed for the better. So that's a little bit about me, just to start off here with today. And hopefully in the next few weeks, we can get other people to tell stories. Today, we're going to have an exceptional show. Joining me is a good friend, a great soldier, a great leader, General Carter Hamm. General Hamm is the president and CEO of the Association of the United States Army. AUSA is a private nonprofit organization with 122 chapters worldwide. They act primarily as an advocacy group for the Army and for soldiers. He began his service as an enlisted soldier, HUA, in the 82nd Airborne Division before attending John Carroll University in Cleveland, Ohio. In addition to numerous assignments in the U.S., he has served in Italy, Germany, Kuwait, the Balkans, and Iraq. His final assignment before retiring in 2013 was Commander of United States Africa Command. General Hamm has a master's degree from Naval War College in Newport, Rhode Island. He and his wife, Christy, have two grown children and three fast-growing grandchildren. Welcome, sir. Glad to see you here today.
Well, thanks very much, Sergeant Major. It's great to be with you.
Well, I hope I didn't screw up that bio too much there. I hope you got everything or covered everything.
No, you got the most important part. That's three grandchildren.
Well, you got the other part. Christy, your wife. That's probably right. The main one right there.
She would agree that the three grandchildren are most important.
Hey, before we get started here a little bit, would you like to just say something to the audience, to the people out there listening to? I'm certainly sure there's something you want to share with them.
Yeah, so first of all, thanks for tuning in to the Your Next Mission podcast. We've learned that podcasts are a great way to reach a wide variety of audiences, and I'm really proud of the American Freedom Foundation for taking this step and creating this new platform to share good news and hopefully useful news to all you listeners.
Well, I appreciate that. I think it's going to be useful news because I think there's a lot of things we need to share with the, you know, military or veterans and family members, and we're going to be able to share as much as we can to educate them as much as we can in the future. Sir, every time I wrote this down yesterday and I thought about if I was going to ask you a question, what would it be? And the question is, can you tell me something about yourself that nobody else knows? Go ahead, sir. I don't want to stop you. I'm sure you're on a roll with this one.
Yeah, well, there's probably some things that are best left unsaid, which I'm sure my wife and kids would tell you for sure. But I guess one thing that I that would be perhaps interesting to listeners is particularly in retirement, I've really come to enjoy backpacking and backpacking alone, and especially backpacking in the Rocky Mountains. And I guess I like the solitude. To me, it's energizing. I like the sense of being away from the sights and sounds and smells of big city living. It's just been for me, an invigorating experience. Maybe it traces back to my infantry roots and I feel more comfortable if I got a pack on my back. I don't know.
Well, sleeping in the mud doesn't sound appealing to me.
And it's a wonderful way to enjoy the national parks of our great nation, which have special programs for veterans, by the way.
Oh, wow. I was thinking about, I don't think I could sleep in the mud anymore. I don't think I could sleep out in the field. So I'm probably a wimp.
I guess the other thing I've learned, Sergeant Major, is that while the Army has great gear, the camping and backpacking gear, it somehow is infinitely lighter and more weather resistant than anything we ever had in the Army.
There lies the problem, sir. Sir, can you tell me about what the mission of the Association of the United States Army is? I'm going to jump into something else here.
Yeah, sure. So the AUSA, the Association of the United States Army, formed in 1950, by the way. So we're closing in on our 75th anniversary in a couple of years. AUSA's mission is pretty simple. We support soldiers and their families, and we support Army civilians. We provide a voice for the Army to a variety of national level audiences, and we honor those who have served. We do that at the national level, at the community level, and certainly in support of our individual members as well.
Well, sir, can you tell me how AUSA has, specifically impacted some of the organizations with that?
Yeah, so I guess, Sergeant Major, I would focus at three levels, at the national level, at the community level, and at the individual level. At the national level, we spend a lot of time engaging with members of Congress, with leaders in the Army, and others in the national security environment, to help them understand the needs of soldiers and their families, all components, active duty Army, National Guard, and Army Reserve, and the important component of Army civilians and families, to make sure that those that lawmakers and others who are making policy regarding the Army have the best information available and they understand the impacts of the decisions that they make. At the community level, as you mentioned, Sergeant Major, we have 122 chapters around the world. Simply put, wherever the Army is, AUSA is. And at the community level, we find our chapters intimately involved in community activities, particularly if there are soldiers, again, active guard or reserve, who are preparing for or on deployment. Our AUSA chapters support those soldiers and their families. We are very supportive of the employer support to the Guard and Reserve organization that is vitally important for the reserve components of the armed forces. And at the individual level, for our individual members, we provide a wide variety of educational and professional development opportunities. Podcasts, such as you and I are participating in now. We produce a monthly magazine, award-winning magazine, Army Magazine. We produce a number of other professional publications on matters of current interest to the Army and its supporters and to Army industry as well. And we do multiple events each month. So this month being Women's History Month, we have a program on March 24th hosted by Chief Warrant Officer 5, retired Phyllis Wilson, who will focus with a number of speakers on her story, the significant role that women have played in the military. So that's a sampling of the kinds of things that AUSA does.
I get tired just listening to all the stuff that you're doing. I mean, I know you're doing a heck of a good job. And keep up the good work, sir. In general, what do you think soldiers, when should they prepare for transition? When should they start that process? Do you have any idea?
Sooner than I did.
Me too.
You know, I look back at it, you have to recognize that every soldier is going to transition. Some soldiers transition after just a couple of years of service. They enlist for 2 or 3 or 4 years and then conclude their service and honorably and return to civilian life. Others serve longer periods, and some like you and I end up spending the majority of your adult life in uniform. But everybody transitions. And so you should think about it a little bit from the start to say, what are you going to do next, and how do you prepare for that? Because frankly, as you mentioned, I started off as an enlisted soldier. I had no intention of staying in the Army. I certainly had no intention of ever becoming an officer. And if you had told me in those days that I was going to be a general, my goodness, I mean, that would be the most ridiculous thing in the world. So you got to think about transition from the very start. And I think for most transitioning soldiers, for all service members, really the two big questions that people transitioning are, where do you want to live, and what do you want to do? And oftentimes one or the others of those questions answers will take priority. If you know that you're going to go home to wherever your parents are, the bulk of your family is, and you're going to look for work from there, well, then that's a good thing. If you're more mobile, if what's more important to you is the kind of work that you're going to do, and you're flexible on where you're going to live, then that opens up other opportunities as well. But you all start thinking about those. Which of those two is more important to you?
I got two things real quick. One is that my goal in the Army was to be a Spec 4. I wanted to be a Spec 4, and I never thought I'd get past that. The second thing is I agree 100%. You need to start that transition is probably when you go into the service. Sir, I appreciate your comments. Please stay with us. We'll be right back with General Hamm. Hi, I'm Jack Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, and you're listening to Your Next Mission podcast, proudly presented by Cavalry Agency, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans. Before we get back with General Hamm, I'd like to tell you a little bit about Veterans United Home Loans. They're the number one VA lender for home buyers for 5 straight years, a 4.8 out of 5 stars with nearly 250,000 reviews. If you're buying, they're funding your dream. Go to veteransunited.com. Sir, we've been talking to a lot about a lot of stuff about transition. What do you think about mentorship? What is mentorship? Do you need a mentor when you transfer, or do you need a mentor when you transfer out of the service?
So before I answer that, let me just second your thoughts about Veterans United. I've been fortunate to know them and see them work since I've been at the Association of the United States Army, and they are a great company and provide great service to all veterans. So I'm glad to hear that they're sponsoring this podcast and honored to do so.
Cool.
Yeah, so mentorship, is really, really important while you're in service. You know, I don't know that I ever used the term mentor or that we talked about the term mentor, but when I was a young soldier, I rose to, you know, like Sergeant Major, like you, I rose to the exalted position of being a PFC and then a Spec 4, and I was the battalion command sergeant major's driver.
And you must have been pretty scored away.
I didn't know it at the time, but that sergeant major was mentoring me all the time. Sometimes he did so in terms that questioned my family heritage and my and other things. Yeah. And sometimes it was a little more quiet than that. And sometimes it was simply mentoring by his example. And so again, we didn't call it mentoring in those days. I didn't recognize it until many years later, my sergeant major was mentoring this young soldier, and that stuck with me. As you continue your military service, again, whether it's a couple of years or whether it's a lot of years, you're going to have mentors. You're going to have people whose example you learn from, both good and bad, by the way. And you are going to have people who look to you as being a mentor. You know, if we think sometimes, particularly young leaders, you know, corporals and sergeants and staff sergeants, lieutenants, you know, sometimes don't think of themselves as mentors. But think about when you were a new soldier showing up at your first unit, and who was your mentor? Probably a team leader or a squad leader.
Yeah.
You know, somebody who's just a couple of years older than you. And just as mentorship has been important to all of us who have served, mentorship can be a valuable tool for those who are transitioning.
I tell you, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you know, we all know people who have transitioned, you know, before us, but somehow we feel hesitant to reach out to them and say, hey, I'm nearing my transition. You know, again, whether it's after a couple of years or after a full career, you know, can we just talk about that process a little bit? And what did you learn in transition? And so those of us who have made that transition, I think, have an obligation to help those who are coming behind us. And I would just encourage service members who are nearing transition, don't be shy. You know, reach out to those people you have trusted while in service and ask for their guidance. They will willingly give it.
Yeah, you know, this is a small family in the military. You know, every veteran will help every veteran. That's really the key. It doesn't matter if you're a general officer or you're a private. If you serve in the military, another service member will help you, no matter what service. So I support that 100%. I've had probably four or five really solid mentors that I've used throughout my military career and throughout my civilian life that just keep giving me great advice. So, sir, what's the role of the family play with transition out of the military? I mean, you know, I know you've been married quite a while, and I've been married quite a while too. But the role of the family, what does that play in the transition? How does it play out anyway?
Well, I think just as families contribute to readiness and contribute in very real ways to service members while they are in uniform, I think during the transition process, families have a vital role. We forget sometimes that while transition can be stressful on the service member, you know, because there's a lot of uncertainty out there. Where am I going to live? What's my job going to be? Where's my healthcare going to come from? All the rest of those things that come with transition. It sometimes can be even more stressful on the family member. The families who are, you know, changing from a military community, perhaps maybe overseas, to a very different style of life where in a civilian community where everybody doesn't work at the same place, everybody doesn't share all the same values and all the rest of that. So I think including families in the transition process is really, really important. It starts with an openness between the service member and his or her family about what's important to that family during the transition process.
Yeah. Well, so you're right on target. There's no question. I think about that when I process out a sort of real funny story real quick. As I got out, bought a home. I didn't work for about 30 days, and we built a house, moved in there. And then my wife said, looked at me one day and said, "Don't you have something to do? You're like, get out of the house, go find a job." So that wife is the key to success for me in everything I do in my life anyway. What do you think a soldier brings to the workforce?
Yeah, so soldiers, service members of all service, I think, bring an extraordinary set of capabilities to any prospective employer. I think, though, sometimes service members tend to restrict their job search. They tend to think only about, you know, how is my immediate technical or, you know, skill that I've learned in my military occupational specialty in my career field, you know, I have to go work in that career field because that's what I know, you know, whether it's food service or you know, military police or communications or whatever the case may be. And I think sometimes transitioning service members self-limit the opportunities that they might consider by confining themselves only to jobs that are related to the military career field.
Yeah.
Because military members bring so much more. Yes, that technical and tactical skill can be very, very useful, particularly if it is a hard technical skill. But even for those who served, as I did, in the infantry, which thankfully does not have a civilian equivalent, you know, There are lessons in leadership, in teamwork, you know, simple things that we in the military take for granted. Showing up for work on time, you know, being drug-free, being reliable, being responsive to supervisors, and, you know, being a good team member. Those skills, which we just kind of take for granted in the military, are really not all that common in the civilian workplace sometimes.
No, I agree 100%. You know, the loyalty, the dedication, the enthusiasm, the motivation, everything, it just raised that organization up. There's no question about that. Sir, how valuable do you think the TAP program is, the Transition Assistance Program is?
Yeah, so transition assistance, again, in all the services is vitally important. I think, you know, for the most part, surveys indicate that service members, in many cases, do not take full advantage of the transition assistance programs that are available to them. So I would encourage all your listeners to do just that. Explore transition assistance at your base or installation. Find out what educational opportunities there are and many, many other programs. It's a base. The Transition Assistance Program is a baseline that allows you to build upon as you develop your individual transition plan. And I would say also start at least a year out in engaging with your transition assistance office. Even if you're not sure that you're going to transition, if you're still, you know, weighing the pros and cons, maybe I'll re-enlist, maybe I'll extend my service, have that conversation with the transition assistance folks. It'll lead you to a better informed decision when you ultimately do transition out of the military.
Yeah, I agree. The only thing I'd add to that is make sure you bring your military spouse. You bring your spouse with you to the transitioners process.
Yeah, absolutely right.
Yeah, that's an important one for me. General Hamm, we're going to take another short break and be right back. You're listening to Your Next Mission podcast. I'm SMA Jack Tilley. I'm really excited about the next segment of our show because this is where I get to hear from you. We get to hear your stories and the experiences you've had so we can learn from each other. Before we get to the story, let me say a few words about one of our key sponsors, Purdue University Global. Available online education for the working adults, innovative and personalized. Learn more by visiting at purdueglobal.edu. Now back to the stories. Please reach out to me at smatilly@yournextmission.org or write a review on the website, yournextmission.org. Tell us your story. Send us a video or photo, and I'll feature your story on the podcast. since this is the first episode in the mission, we don't have a story to tell you. So I really blame this on Sergeant Major Myers. He is supposed to find somebody to give me some kind of story. So I'm gonna tell you one. When I got selected as a Sergeant Major of the Army, I was really excited. And I remember going, my wife, I've been married 51 years, and my wife was, you know, the biggest part of my life. There's no question about that. But I remember I went home and I told my wife, I said, Gloria, I was just selected as a Sergeant Major of the Army. She said, Jack, that's good, that's good. Just sort of walked away. And I said again, I said, Glory, you don't understand. I was just selected as the Sergeant Major of the Army. She said, Jack, that's good, that's good. And sort of walked away. And then on the third time, I'm getting a little angry, which is not true, but I'm getting a little angry. I said, Gloria, do you understand something? I was just selected as the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. She said, Jack, that's good. Now take out the trash. So I tell you that story only because it's important that you understand, no matter who you are, don't never change who you are. Be yourself each and every day, and get back to doing what you need to be doing. So, all right, well, we're going to get back with General Hamm. Sir, this is just a final couple of questions, sir. We'll sort of wrap this up. How important is a resume, specifically on when you're processing out of the service for a soldier?
Well, resumes are vitally important, perhaps even more important nowadays. So many employers are using resume screening technology to see whether you are either, you know, you can even get an interview. So understanding that process is vitally important. There's a number of, number of ways to do that. Your transition assistance program can help with that. I would also offer that at the Association of the United States Army, we have a program called AUSA Jobs Central. Just go to AUSA.org and look for that. You can get a free resume review to help you with that process as well. But I think that issue of, you know, the technological screening of resumes, which has developed over the past couple of years, is kind of an initial screening that eventually, if you do it right, will lead to an interview and then hopefully subsequent employment. So getting that resume right and understanding, what increases the chances that your resume will be screened positively and ultimately to an interview. That the importance of that simply cannot be overstated.
Yeah. I think the other thing, too, is that you should have two resumes. I always did. I had one that was sort of military, and then the other one sort of civilian. And you got to be careful about using military jargon in your resume so people don't understand what acronyms are. So I agree 100%. And here's where the mentor comes in. Show that resume to a mentor or to a friend. Say, hey, take a look at this and make sure it sounds right, and we'll get the right kind of information here.
I think that's absolutely right. Yeah. And education is a big piece of that. You mentioned that Purdue Global, one of the sponsors. You know, it's interesting at AUSA events, Purdue Global is often there, and people line up to talk to the Purdue Global experts to say, what programs can I get involved in while I'm still in service that will help me both professionally in the military, but also will set me up for success after transition. So that's a great great sponsor and a great university.
Well, the other thing, too, is we both know that, four-degree, a master's degree, a doctorate degree, that's really additional money for you and your family. You know, every time you get more education, I agree with you, education is the key to success. Get as much education before you retire as you can, you and your spouse there. Can you give me some specifics about the planning process? I don't know if you plan to get out of the service. I know I probably screwed it up a little bit, but some ideas about that planning process?
Yeah, so I as you and I did, you know, when you become Sergeant Major of the Army, or you get promoted, to be a four-star general, it's pretty clear that your transition is closer than you would think.
You're up and out. Yeah.
That's right. So you start thinking about that. So I a couple of thoughts about planning for transition. First is you'll hear this from lots of different people, but it's really true. network.
Yeah.
You know, folks that you served with, folks that you knew prior to your entry into military service, those who have transitioned before you, keep those contacts alive. There's a variety of ways to do that. You know, social media has a whole number of capabilities to do just that. You never know where your job is going to come from. You know, in a lot of cases, it's going to come from somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody who knew of a job and said, hey, maybe you ought to, you know, maybe, hey, Jack Tilley, maybe you might be interested in this position. So networking is really, really important. I would encourage transitioning service members to have and to rehearse what many people call your elevator speech. You know, maybe not more than 2 minutes when somebody asks you, you know, what have you been doing and what do you want to do? You're going to get asked that question. Be prepared for it and have a short, concise, powerful, hard-hitting elevator speech that you can convey to somebody that, you know, here's who I am and here's what I want to do. Sergeant Major Tilley, you know, mentioned that, you know, kind of demilitarize your language. You know, if you're in the military and you say, well, I was in the DEP and then I went to OSINT and I got my MOS and 11B and PCS, you know, I had lots of OJT, I went TDY a lot, and I got an ARCOM and then I ETS. We know what that means. Nobody else on the planet knows what that means.
There's no question about that. I get in trouble sometimes doing that because I sort of fall back into that Army language and people say, no, what'd you say? And I say, yeah, no, I'm with you.
That's right. And it is, I think it's, you know, related to that is that just the way things have evolved in our country, very few employers will know a lot about the Army. They probably, you know, probably don't know anybody who's in the Army, and they don't have a family member who's in the Army. So you know, you just have to understand that. It's not right or wrong. It just is. And so you have to understand that, and they'll be curious. But people also, it's also important to understand that people have sometimes their beliefs about the Army are formed by TV and movies, and you have to sometimes work to dispel that misbegotten beliefs about the military service.
Yeah, well, sir, you know, I want to thank you today for you know, just taking the time to get on the podcast with you, and I thank you for your leadership, your guidance for all the military people that you help around the country, and your friendship. God bless you, and thank you for really joining us today. I appreciate it, sir.
Well, thanks so much, Sergeant Major. I think, you know, what you're doing through the Your Next Mission podcast and what the American Freedom Foundation has done for a long time in supporting service members, veterans, and their families is really, really important. And God bless you for doing that. I wish you all the best. It's always great to hear from you. I look forward to seeing you soon.
Who else, sir? Thanks a lot. God bless you. Thank you so much for listening today. Please visit yournextmission.org, where you can meet our key partners. All of them have services for you. One of our partners, a sponsor of Your Next Mission, is Cavalry Agency. If you need a firm to fight for your brand the way they fight for ours, it's time to call in the Cavalry. Ideas, strategy, action. This is the Cavalry. CavalryAgency.com. Also, please follow us on Your Next Mission social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn, and YouTube. I'd like to thank General Hamm again for being on our podcast and providing such great insights for our veterans. And I want to end this podcast with a little story of my experience in the Army and of my life. And I always tell this story because I think it's really important. It's hard for me to get through this story. I have an older son, Brian, that got pneumococcus meningitis when he was 15 months old. It left him temporarily blind, temporarily deaf, had 20 to 30 convulsions a day. And I remember going to the hospital and trying to figure out exactly, you know, what was going to happen to him. And so I got reassigned to Fort Lewis, Washington, where they had his medical needs there for him. And And I wanted to get back and being a soldier, so I just started soldiering on. I let my wife take care of those issues, and I'd do what I had to do. And I went to Yakima Firing Center, and my wife called me and said, you got to come home. And I said, I'll be there. And so I came home, and my son was in the hospital. Now, at the time, he's on 5 different kinds of medication trying to control those seizures. You see, it's about life. It's about, it really is about God. It's about believing. It's about thinking about the right things each time in your life. So I asked the doctor, I said, Doctor, what's going to happen to my son? And he told me, he said, I don't know what's going to happen to your son. He said, we're trying to do everything he can. So I did what anybody would do. I went in and I got in a small annex and I got down on my hands and knees and prayed. I said, God, either let him live or let him die. Now think about that. Here's a father talking about his son. I said, either let him live or let him die. The next day, there was nothing wrong with him. His seizures had stopped. The doctor put him on one kind of medication. It is about believing. Never stop believing in life. Again, thank you for listening, and thanks to Cloudcast Media for showing us the way, and our 3 major sponsors, Calvary Agency, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans. See you on the high ground. Hoo-ah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.
Cloudcast Media.